Quality proteins aren't just for special occasions. With Omaha Steaks, you get unbeatable flavor and value delivered right to your door. They have an unmatched selection of perfectly portioned proteins, including USDA certified tender steaks, burgers, chicken, pork, seafood, and more. All flash frozen at their moment of peak quality. Then quickly delivered to your door in a dependable cooler. So a great dinner is just minutes away. From Taco Tuesday to a weekend feast. Omaha Steaks practically invented meat delivery, and they've been perfecting the art of premium proteins for over 100 years. With their 100% satisfaction guarantee, you can order with complete confidence. Taste the Omaha Steaks difference, a better, more convenient way to buy proteins. Start getting flavorful proteins delivered today. Visit omahasteaks.com and get $35 off with promo code AUDIO at checkout. That's omahasteaks.com, code AUDIO. Terms apply. See site for details.
Off the ball. GAA.
And even in the start of the first half, I was actually close enough to him when the game was going on and things weren't going well for us, and he was still the same. Like, you wouldn't even know if they're winning or losing. That's kind of the way he is, and he kind of projects that to the dressing room as well.
Join in the obsession. Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join.
Folks, hello and welcome to tonight's Late Night League of Ireland with myself, Shane Keegan, and hopefully Mr. Barry Murphy. It's the kind of game that Derry have to be going and winning if they have any aspirations getting up around those European positions. And it does seem to be a common theme with them that they just don't seem to be able to kick on in games, do they? Like, they were well on top early on in this one. And yeah, as Marty has said, you know, at a draw match, to bring on Cameron Dunigan. Now look, the argument the manager might make is that he will say they've gone to a back three rather than gone to a back five, but you've still ended up with your right and left back are still on the pitch, so that's why Marty's justified in calling it a back five, but not a good enough for it. I mean, like I said, they barely even celebrated, so did it. It was like they were nearly embarrassed to have even got a point out of a bar.
Yeah, I think Marty spoke about attitude, and that's what it's all about. You know, you were wondering whether you were going to get a reaction from the Waterford players and see what kind of attitude they had going. But on the opposite side, it's a tough place to go down and get a result. Not so much this season, but it's about attitude down there. When I saw that first goal going in for Derry, I thought the way it's come about, a bit lucky, a bit of a deflection, it's gone in. I thought they're going to kick on now, really get after them, put two or three past them, and to see the result and nicking the draw in the end, it's just not good enough, as Marty said. It is a back five. I watched a little bit of it as well. And if your fullbacks are that deep, it's a back five. It's not a back three with wing backs high up. They're nearly on the halfway line, just below the halfway line. That's not a back three. That's a back five for me. And it's just not open and expansive enough to go and break down the Waterford side where everyone has scored goals past. And listen, did you see enough in Waterford tonight to think, yeah, listen, they have a chance of getting out of this, or is that as good as they have?
I was impressed with them, Barry. I was actually impressed with them last week, even though we're beating 4-1. I know it's a mad thing to say, but I thought they showed good signs last week, and I mean, they will be absolutely sick that they didn't. But to be fair, they got a big round of applause from the support coming off. The supporters knew that they had been impressive throughout the game. I mean, you'll give me his name, Marty. Your goalkeeper makes a really good save in the first half.
Eddie Beach.
Save in the first half when I think it was Adam O'Reilly under hit that pass in the build up, and Tommy Lonergan has gone through. And they had a couple of other. Sure, I mean, the Barry Cotter clearance off the line, Marty, was unbelievable. So it was. I mean, that should have been another goal conceded there as well, really, shouldn't it?
Absolutely. Like, Waterford, like, we robbed Waterford tonight. That's how bad it is. We went to a team that hasn't won a game all season, and we robbed them. I felt terrible for Waterford, to be honest. I thought they really deserved it there tonight. And we were embarrassed to be walking out there with a draw. We deserved to be beaten 3 or 4-1.
They certainly capitalise on their set, you know. They have three big halves, and they all come up for every corner and every throw. And then they just work their socks off. Lonergan and Park Hodge leading it from the front with constant running and hassling and harrying. So, like I said, wasn't that day was an outstanding performance, but they just showed more endeavour than he did, Marty, wasn't it?
Yeah, they beat us every second ball and all. They bullied us, like, you know. It was, as I said, we went into our shell completely. And, you know, I don't think it's the players doing that. I do think it's an instruction that we went 1-0 up and it's like, oh, we're going to try and sit in and catch them on the break or whatever. But, like, it never works for us. Derry are a very good team. We're probably the best team in the league, I think, if we play on the front foot. Yeah, we might concede one or two goals, but I think we can hit three or four probably every game if the lads are just let off the leash. Every single time he goes, and as soon as we go a goal up or whatever, he tries this sitting in and never works. And it's, you know, ultimately it's probably going to cost him. So I'm not going to be too harsh or give out too much. It's, you know, it's probably over. Like, and that's sad. Like, I do want to see every Derry manager go well, but I think it's reached a point now where it's just totally not good enough.
Back to back home games against Pats and Shells coming up. That's going to be kind of make or break there, really, isn't it?
I don't think. Look, I wouldn't be surprised if we had a new manager in place. I think the feeling in Derry is like, I don't know if he's one fan left. I do feel we probably will have a new manager in place. If I was a betting man for those games.
Were you over with that? Were you over with that tonight?
Sorry, you broke up there, Shane.
Sorry, Marty, I was asking, were you over with that small group of Derry fans over on the far side there tonight? You are?
Yeah, like, it's the same guys. Like, we probably have about 30 hardcores that go everywhere, so... Yeah, like they didn't like him anyway at all. So they haven't changed from the first. But, you know, I'm talking about the fans who were kind of always on the fence, or like none of them are left, including myself. Like, you know, I can't defend them anymore. Like, you know.
Yeah, it's a pity. It's hard to.
I think.
Hard to know why you just.
I think if I could just, sorry to cut in, like, I think him and Rory Higgins had the same exact problem at Derry. In that the both of them are kind of new young managers that have never failed before, and the both of them are failing in a big job like Derry, if that makes sense. Like, Rory Higgins came in when Derry were bottom in the league, right? He took us from bottom to fourth. Next season he won the cup and came second then, great run in Europe, and finally then in 2024 it all went wrong on him and he didn't know how to manage it because he'd never been through it before. And it's kind of the same with Tiernan Lynch. Like, everything's kind of gone well from McLaren. Like, he did a brilliant job there. He came in there last year. You know, he came second. Things went well. And now, again, this is probably the first time in his career where everything's gone wrong. And he doesn't have the experience with that yet to go through it. So I think it's the similarities are there in that stage. And I think, like, Bo Higgins, you can see Higgins already has gone on to become a success elsewhere, which I knew he would. And Tiernan will probably do the same. It's just they don't know how to deal with it. Like, it's probably the first time it's gone wrong in them. Like,
yeah, no, I see where you're coming from on that. All right, I mean, I was on full commentary for Radio Foyle, and they actually had an interview with him before the game, and like, he was honest enough to say that it took him six seasons to win a title in his previous job. And he said, the phrase he said was, "Look, I'm not going to get six seasons to win a title here. That's for sure." It's a very, very different job spec, I suppose, isn't it?
Yeah, I think the job is nearly outgrown the league. Like, the pressure up there is huge. Like, it's not even a hunger now up in Derry. Like, there's a desperation to land the league, and like, the fans are all over you. It's like you hear Vinnie Perth talking about Dundalk. It's a goldfish bowl. Everyone in the town is talking about it 24/7. Well, for Derry, like, you can nearly multiply that by 10, you know. So I don't know who you'd even bring in. I'd say someone like Martin O'Neill or Neil Lennon needs to come in. I think you need someone with that kind of experience to maybe get the first league or two over the line. I think, like, I love John Russell, Kev Doherty, I think they're brilliant, but they'd be mad to come up to Derry. Like, you know, it's not the same job as a Drogheda or a Sligo or even a Shells. Like, the hunger is immense, the budgets are big. Yeah, you know,
you're really managing the city as well as the team, aren't you? It's so much more not than just the 11 on the pitch on a Friday night. It's week in, week out, managing the media, managing the expectations, and then ultimately delivering as well.
That's what I'm saying. You need someone who's done it at, like, kind of a Celtic kind of job, you know. I think it's gone that big now.
Time for Philip O'Doherty to get the checkbook out, son. land a big name manager, so it is.
Absolutely.
Fair play for jumping. And I think we are back. Are you there again, Barry?
I am. I don't know what happened there.
No idea. I think we all got shut down in the one foul swoop there. We must have upset somebody, so we must. But no, we're back. We're back up and running, and everybody seems to be logging back in again. Fair play to them. We'll get the other angle briefly from that game tonight before we move on. Toby has been good to chat there the last couple of weeks. Toby, were you in the RSC tonight?
I was at Harry Barry High Shade anyway.
How are you, Toby?
You must be heartbroken.
Very, very. My voice is nearly gone.
Yes. But you have to take the positives from it, Toby. That was, you know, I know you didn't get the 3 points, but by God, you did as much as you could have to try and get them. I mean, if they show that sort of fight and heart over the rest of the season, you'll have a chance. Big game now Monday night. Jeez, if you could go and get the 3 from that and take 4 points from your weekend, all of a sudden the fight is on, isn't it?
Yeah. All of a sudden the fight will just be on and there. It's just, look, you can take positives. Like, I won't even criticise anyone after that game. It was just pure guilt. We played good. Like, okay, the first 20 minutes we were not good. But when Derry got that goal, we freaking attacked.
Yeah, I was talking to one or two Waterford supporters there, and I commented on the fact that I thought Benny Couto was absolutely excellent for you tonight, and I believe he's been getting a bit of stick that maybe hasn't covered himself in glory in recent performance, but geez, he was non-stop tonight, Toby. He was up and down the line. The quality of his deliveries and that cross in for Kevin Long's goal was treat. Listen, if you're as big as Kevin Long is, when a player hangs it up in the air for you like that, it's dreamland delivery. I thought he was excellent.
Honestly, since the new manager came in, I know we lost the Pats last week, but even then, last week, Benny Couto played some good stuff last week, and he played it again this week. It's like the new manager completely changed the tactics, which I think he did, because he do more like he tell them more what to do than John Daly did. John Daly was only like standing on the sidelines. Your man actually looks like he has a bit of passion on the sidelines.
Yeah, well,
did he change up to around formation wise, or did he stick to what to try and test it?
Well,
I'll
put it this way. When John Daly was there, he's putting Paul Chalmers on his own every time. Now, since he came in, Coughlin, he's put Lonergan and Abbott on by the, like, two of them together. So at least when Abbott wins a header, he is someone to freaking support him.
Yeah, Hammond needs legs beside him, doesn't he?
Yeah, because he's not getting any younger. He's a great player, don't get me wrong. He's a brilliant player. He's been a brilliant player for us. But it's just the legs, it's just you're not getting any younger. But Abbott wins a header. He is someone to freaking support him.
Yeah, Hammond needs legs beside him, doesn't he?
Yeah, because he's not getting any younger. He's a great player, don't get me wrong. He's a brilliant player. He's been a brilliant player for us. But it's just the legs, it's just you're not getting any younger.
Yeah, they were basically, I suppose, what you'd call 3-4-1-2, I suppose, Barry. Three absolute monsters across the three centre-half positions in Long, Khan and John Mahon. And that was a big part of it. Every throw inside the final third, those three were up. Every free kick, every corner. You know, it wasn't exactly, you know, Brazil style football, but it was effective, so it was. And then the wing backs tried to get forward as best they could. Couto in particular, absolutely excellent. And then basically Noonan in the 10 behind the two lads up front, and the two lads did stay up front, so even when they were back defending, you had an out ball all the time. And no, look, it worked. They were so good in the second half. They really, really were so good in the second half. You would have struggled if you were told that one of them was bottom of the table. I'll tell you what, there's only one club that you would have been pointing at. But still, all that momentum could be lost very, very quickly, Toby, unless you go and build on that again Monday night.
Look, the other day, we could very much build on that, you know. Like, if we build on this Monday, all of a sudden the momentum will be back up again.
Absolutely, no, 100%, 100%. Toby, fair play for jumping on.
Thanks, Jay. Thanks, Barry.
Come on, Toby.
Talk to you again. We will jump to the first division briefly, Barry, because I think I made Seagull wait the whole way to the very end of the show last week. We don't want to do it to him twice in a row, and he was at the game which produced the most goals tonight, so he should have plenty to tell us about. Seagull, you weren't short for entertainment.
Oh no, lads, listen, I'm only going to be on for 2 minutes because listen, we won 4-3, but I'm genuinely angry. I've never, ever, I've been watching League of Ireland for 17 years. I've never seen a more blatantly incompetent refereeing performance. I'm saying that as the team that won. I have never. I couldn't hear you there.
I said I could swear you told us this last week as well. No.
Last week had some bad officiating, but this was start to finish. I mean, we had two ridiculous. Two penalties where a player charged into Jimmy Corcoran. One, I suppose I could see how you could see if depending on the angle you could give it as a penalty. He's still looking at a back, still just charges into Jimmy, who can't do anything about it. The second one, he literally jumps into him, and no one on UCD claims anything, and he still gives the penalty. Now Jimmy saved it, but listen, for last, I don't know if you remember the Braes last game. The last league game of last year before the playoffs, Billy O'Neill was sent off in a 5-0 win against Kerry.
Yeah.
And he was sent off while his back was turned to Alan Patchell. And yeah. All of the Bray players were running up to him saying, what have you done that for? And he literally didn't say anything. And the story that that was apparently put out, I don't want to say anything litigious, was that Billy O'Neill said far worse than that, which none of the Bray players and later Kerry player confirmed was said. Tonight he sent off Alan Kinzenga while his back was turned from him and while Alan was walking away from him. Like, Alan is literally Alan is literally walking away from him, and then he starts jogging after him and pulls out a red card. Honestly, this was a cut and dry 4-1-4-2 win, which we ended up winning by the skin of our teeth, purely because Jimmy Corcoran saved the second penalty, which was given, which was never a penalty anyway. If he hadn't saved us, it would have been 4-4. Honestly, we've heard every single fan in this league complains about the officiating, I remember in, I think it was 2018, when Hugh Douglas literally used both his fists to punch a ball out of the box, and everyone standing behind the goal at the Carlisle fell about laughing because none of the referees caught it. And this, honestly, I've never seen a worse performance than that. And just to give balance, Cian Doyle tonight should have been sent off about two times over. He got a yellow card for a nothing challenge, but then he took out the same player in two separate incidents, and a foul wasn't even given. I'm not trying to say that Alan Patchell has a vendetta against Bray, or the referees have a vendetta against Bray, because everyone likes to say that referees have a vendetta against their club. Because some disgraceful decisions went our way tonight. Oh my God! Like I honestly just it. Even if you just watch the highlights, you won't get the full picture. But watch the highlights when the YouTube channel puts them out. Honestly, I've never seen anything like it.
Come here now that you've got that off your chest. Tell me a bit more about one of the men with the best name in the League of Ireland, John Billy Cisse.
Yeah. Well, I think it's actually Sessai, but no one really knows. No, listen, he's made an unworkable system work. Beforehand, it was Bray playing a front three, which were hopelessly isolated, and were basically they had no option but to always run forward. We now, instead of playing just sort of a flat three, John Billy Sessai, he plays as a CDM, and he allows both Ben McCormack and Keane Doyle to go forward and actually support the front three. I think I said last week, he reminds me of N'Golo Kante. He never stops running. He ends up everywhere from almost a position you would expect a central forward to be in to behind the centre-backs when it needs to be. Never stops running, never stops contributing. He's genuinely, it's amazing how one player has made a failing system that was calling some people for to call to that was saying that calling for people to that was making people call for Paul Heffernan to go, how he's made that system work 100%. And I'll tell you what, lads, we had scored in 14 games, we had scored 15 goals. Two games later, we're now the league's top scorers. Ben McCormack is, listen, if he, I almost hope he doesn't, he isn't as good as he's been, because if he is, he'll be gone in the summer instantly.
Well, isn't it for him, like 22 years old and being at two clubs so far and haven't found a home anywhere, he's probably too good for the first division but yet hasn't found any kind of solid footing in the Premier Division as yet. He's got pure quality about him though.
Oh yeah, no, he's far too good for this division. He'd be too good for Cork, let alone Bray. But listen, we have him, and that's and while we have him, we'll rely on him. So,
would you have had any interaction with him before?
Yeah, played with him at Pats. Listen, he was excellent. I thought he'd had a great chance at Pats. It was just the movement of the manager Steve. He went to Dundalk and he'd played a bit under him and it just didn't fall for him at the time. And then I thought, listen, Waterford's a great club for him to go down and rebuild. It didn't quite happen for him then. And then you look at his age and go, he's 22, it's nothing like in this league, and he's got a great chance. And that's something the Bray have a great chance of doing going forward, is cleaning up those type of players in the surrounding areas, building them up, like Sligo are doing with the older age profile players, picking up players unknown from around the leagues that aren't playing in the first teams, picking them up, rejuvenating their careers and moving them on. And hopefully Bray can kind of do that with the younger players coming through as well, and that's their modus operandi going forward, a way to get them back into the Premier.
Yeah, I've mentioned before I'd know Ben very well, so I would have had a bit of an inside track, but like, it's hard to believe, but he was genuinely struggling to get a club for this season.
Incredible.
He had made it very clear that he'd be quite happy to go back to Wexford if Wexford wanted him. I think he quite enjoyed his time there, but I don't think they did, which is, you know, a real fall from grace. Well, looked like what was going to be a real fall from grace from a young lad who had so much potential. Barry, you'll like this. The reason I know Ben is Ben played in the same Belvedere underage side as my younger brother. I have a younger brother the same age as Ben, but he went up and played for Belvo for a couple of years before the pull of hurling down the country drew him back down the country. But when he left Belvo had to go and get a new goalkeeper to replace him. They went and got Josh Keeley. Things have worked out slightly differently for him than they have for my brother.
Whatever happened to that Josh Keeley lad?
But no, look, absolutely delighted to see Ben, because he's a cracking lad with a brilliant attitude. So he is, and I hope that you're going to be the catalyst, Seagull, to fire him on to what he's capable of, you know.
Hopefully, yeah. And Paul Heffernan deserves huge credit, because when he brought, because it was Ben started the season on the subs bench, and the first time he brought on Ben, he was pretty poor, but he kept putting him on, and he's clearly the playing that sort of central attacking role suits him, and so Paul had total faith in him, and so Paul deserves a huge amount of credit there. And I'm delighted that Paul's systems finally worked, because he was getting, in my opinion, a lot of, again, he was sticking to what was then a failing system, but I think too many people were in Bray were losing faith with them too quickly.
Yeah, no, that makes sense. Seagull, fair play for jumping.
Cheers, lads.
Cheers.
Great stuff. Well, Baz, we've had a couple of far too many evenings where we've had to listen to a disenchanted Shane Kennedy. So I'm assuming we're going to be talking to a man who's in far better form tonight. Shane, how are you?
All good, lads. All good. The voice is a bit hoarse.
Sounds like it.
That's definitely a good sign in itself, so it is.
No, you're not one. That old music's a bit loud and insecure at the end, so he couldn't drown the group.
What did you make of it, Shane?
Where did the improvement come from? Barry watched a good bit of it. He can have a chat about it and fill me in.
What a real improvement away from home. It probably was a bit more attacking, definitely. I think we flip-flopped into about three different formations.
Yeah.
But Joey got it. I was half thinking maybe chop off, but look, he brings on Dickie and he gets a bit of space and feed us. We thought we were the more attacking threat by miles. We put the ball together in different occasions and we kind of grew into the game a lot. Finished the first half pretty well, and then the start of the second we could have been 2-0 up easily.
Yeah, I thought they were excellent. I thought they managed Pats really well in the first half. You knew Pats were going to come out, had a good chance early on. Pats Brown probably should have scored, but prior to that, I don't remember Spiel making too many saves. I think they kind of flooded the midfield and Shells stopped kind of Pats playing through that kind of the way they like to play. And you know, the way Luke Turner steps in and finds himself on the edge of the box, that spare centre half getting forward, he couldn't do that today. There was no space from it. I thought Shells were excellent. And then the second half, it was all Shells until the last 10 minutes, I think. And Bang had a great chance off the bar. And then it's an unbelievable ball from Freitas into Dickie to get on the end of it. And he finds himself up against Keane Levy and beats him to the ball. It's a brilliant finish. And I thought they were deserving of the win. I know Johnny McDonald on commentary said it was a smash and grab. I didn't think so at all. I thought Shells played them really well tonight and deserved to get the 3 points in the end.
Smash and grab. No wonder why he didn't make it as a manager. we were really good. But you know what? I thought Kerr McEnroy going off and Caffo coming on, I thought gave us a bit more going forward in midfield. I thought Caffo was absolutely brilliant. And as well, Rossi at the back. I thought he was my man of the match. Every clearance he made was going out of play or else it was going way out. There was none of this like just kind of knocking it down and stopping the ball. I thought Rossi was brilliant, Sam Bowen. But we've done this before away from home, and now look, it's gone to next week where we'll obviously enjoy tonight and get us back up the table, and Rovers losing, I don't know, could we put a run together, who knows. That's
just so tight, isn't it? No, but they were fully deserved. You were right down the way they defended. It was old school defending, no messing around. Sam Bowen got the ball, cleared the ball. Rossi did the exact same. I thought, to be fair to John Martin as well, he put in an unthankful shift as well. Like, he was just putting tackles in here, there, everywhere, smashing Jamie Lennon. It was all about setting the tone for him.
They didn't. They looked like a very soft free kick now in the first half, one of them. I know Siegel Chat was giving out about his referee, but we thought Rob Hennessy, and like there was he tackled it, and the ball was at the fall in the H, and he was nearly in on goal in the first half. We thought it was madness that he'd blow a bell. I thought Marin was nearly his reputation, but slow tackles kind of went against him a little bit.
Yeah, there was one on Jamie Lennon. He was a bit late, but it was nothing in it. He was going for the ball. The same on the other side. I think Turner had one as well on Kerr McEnroy. That was a bad enough one now, to be honest with you. In the first half, he went over the ball a little bit, unintentional really, but he caught Kerr McEnroy. He got him back then about 10 minutes later. But it was just, Shells were at it tonight. The tone was set early and they knew what they were about. Proper game plan, similar to that Bowles performance away in Daly in the first half, and then the second half they obviously switched around and they were excellent. I thought they were really good in the night.
Yeah, we moved the ball around. It wasn't like we sat back in. There was a good 20 minute spell of the second half where we moved the ball around. We switched to a 4-3-3, and I thought we just knocked around them. So a smash and grab is, yeah, if you're looking at the last 5 minutes, you could say that. But we're winning 1-0, like, what does he want? Like, there's more than 90 minutes to a football match. Like, we grew into the game. We thought we were brilliant. A bit suits us at the minute, though. We nearly wonder, would we make Tolga a bit smaller? We're going to have to do it for Europe. So I don't know. Can some of the players get around the pitch? I'm not too sure Sam Bowen likes Tolga too much. JJ as well. I don't know. It's an option that we could look at because our away record, we're top of the league now again, away from home. So it's mental like that we haven't won a home match, but yeah, we seem to be winning a lot on the road. Like, that's just unheard of in football. Like,
it's a big one, you know, isn't it, Shane? The two Shane's, you've got to go and beat Waterford at home if you're going to start mounting any sort of challenge up the table. You've got to go beat Waterford now on Monday, or what is it? Friday, next Friday, is it?
Friday, yeah.
Sorry, Shane, we're upstairs up there.
Yeah, no, I was just going to say, having watched them tonight, like, everything will be rosy now if you can just go and get that home win against them. But having watched them tonight, like, you've had a few problems this year with set pieces. They were all about set pieces tonight. Every throw, every free, every corner was, you know, massively set up. It was like watching the feckin' Arsenal in feckin' England. So it was. It was very set piece orientated. That could be troublesome for you, if couldn't it?
Well, it'll be interesting because John Mahan suspended now. He got a yellow card tonight. That's his fifth yellow. So it'll be interesting. Against Bowes, he's played Sean Boyd at home and a few other draws and stuff. So if he is worried about that, we'll have Boyd up front. Friedas was brilliant when he came on. So if he's thinking about set pieces, I'd say Boyd will play. But when Bang started tonight, lads, he's back. Meepo was on the bench. I think he was doing a heavy warm up. I think if we didn't get a goal, he was going to come on. Chapman's back in as well, so the bodies are coming back, and we lost Jack through injury a little bit. I don't know how serious it is, but our squad's, like Joey's touched on the squad, our squad's nearly probably the best in the league. To be honest, the bench changed the game for us tonight, compared to what Pat's done, and it gives us way more options to kind of change it. But Mbeng is brilliant going, he's even good going forward in terms of he gets you up the pitch. He's not the best on the ball, but at least he commits up and down. He's up and down like a workhorse. And Jarvis, I thought Jarvis was brilliant tonight as well. I don't know what you thought yourself. Bit just to, like, going to take two players out of the game for, I think it was Hardy Wood's chance. Like, defenders are absolutely terrified of him. So yeah, look, I've always said that we've been doing well this season, and I still stand by against Rovers. We, over the 90 minutes, we were the best team that have kind of played them right at home.
Certainly in the first 45 minutes in Tallow, Todd, you were excellent.
That's what I'm saying, yeah, exactly. And then we blew it up completely, just blew the game up. Like, so that performance, I'm looking and going, geez, we have a good team. We are a lot better than where the league says. Just the home form, look, you can win away from home, but the home form has to change, or else your money's going to go down as well as the points, you know.
Shane, you tend to go on a slight tangent before we finish up most nights when we're talking, but I'm gonna go on a slight tangent for you this time. Jack Moylan quite possibly going to make his Irish debut tomorrow. That'll put a smile on your face, I'm sure.
Yeah, great to see. Yeah, brilliant. There's it, doesn't he? And it's good for the league. We're seeing him in the interview there. He was kind of commenting on the league. So yeah, brilliant to see. And look, Ireland missed that flair player, don't they? Before I go, actually, that does remind me, the fans made a banner for Paddy Barrett's mum, who obviously passed away during the week, rest in peace to her. But Dan O'Kelly, he just gets it, the Dubs just get it, don't they? He pulled the banner in, and you'll see a picture maybe going around that had RIP to Anne. But Dickie pulled the banner off one of the lads who obviously made it, the fair play to the lads that made it. But yeah, fair play to Dano for pulling that one in. It was a nice touch.
Yeah, that's brilliant. Nice to hear, isn't it? Especially for Paddy. He's one of the central characters in any team. We've played with him, brilliant lad as well, and that's very sad news to hear.
Yeah. Absolute. Shane, fair play, gent.
Cheers, lads. I'm going in for a Guinness now in the house. So enjoy that. Drink as well.
Enjoy that, Shane.
Yeah. Cheers, lads. Right. Thanks, boys. Thanks.
Barry, arguably the biggest winners out of the night, given how the top two went, were Bowes. So I assume we're going to have an Anthony who's in very, very good form. How are you, Anthony?
Hey, lads. How's it going?
Not too bad at all. The night could hardly have gone much better for you, could it?
No, and you know what it was as well. The performance was an 8-9 out of 10. There, we had a lot of performances that were. I don't know whether the win last week in Dundalk just kind of gave them the confidence. Like, I don't know, I haven't put my finger on it yet. It was a really good game to watch, but I haven't put my finger exactly on why Bowes were so good tonight. But if I was hazarded in a guess, I'd say because Diallo came into midfield and released Dawson and Ross Tierney was up beside Douglas James Taylor tonight, and Barry, you asked me a question last week, what way would you like to see us set up, and he said with, and that looked at Dale Rooney got an unbelievable goal from shifting the ball out wide, and Strode was back in. We thought he got a bad injury against Shells up against Gano there over the far side, and we thought, oh, there's a couple of weeks, and he came in tonight, and first half they set up like a bit of a strange one because Jordan Flores has been missing, he's been out injured the last few weeks, and do you know what it was, Barry? Right, so I was watching it, I went up a little bit higher into the stands so I could see what was happening. So basically in the first half Dale Rooney was in like as a wing back, but obviously he was getting up and Flores tucked in, and it kind of, it's not with or without the ball, that didn't matter, it was just sometimes whatever, I think it was ever side the ball was on, Flores was tucked in like a third centre half and Rooney had to do with running, and it didn't work really on the left side. With the draw they were strong on the left side, on our left side in the first half, and I was kind of going, we're not getting high enough, we're not supporting the play when we're on that side. And then all of a sudden come out after half time and Rooney's up the pitch and he does letters and it's back at the net, and he had one straight after that, and I'm probably being not being unfair when I say this, but the scoreline absolutely flattered the draw. I'd say Bowes were pouring at one stage there, they probably could have got, there was four or five really good chances where they should have scored. So yeah, happy man tonight. Like, I don't know if we turned a corner now. Does that give us the impetus to go again? We're 3 points off Pats. If we can put our runs together, like I said on this deal, guys, to hold them. That if we can limit the losses when we're in bad form, and keep on the good runs. I know we've Rovers on the Monday, the 25th, so if we kind of gear ourselves towards that game, I'd be in coaching distance with getting them at home in the last derby in Dalymount on the Monday. We could all of a sudden be back in the conversation again after today.
Look, you're only 6 points off Rovers now. Like, it's incredible, really. Any sort of run of form, as you said, if you can keep that, the high bar and the low bar as close as you can together in terms of performances, then you've got a great chance of pushing right up that table, especially with Rovers losing tonight as well, and the European get fixtures piling up for them coming up. You just got to stay in the mix. Same with Pats, you got to be in the mix.
Yeah, and then obviously the summer window as well. But I tell you, like it makes a big difference. So like just from the starting lineup last week, if you had Flores, Douglas James Taylor, Dara Power come back in again tonight, where I'm still missing Todd and Mullen, like, but even just the likes of Diallo stepping in, Dara Power stepping in, it just brings the levels up again, and you're going, like, I don't think we've seen how good Bowes can be, because I don't think we've seen a fully fit Diallo, and I don't think we've seen a fully fit Douglas James Taylor, and then you bring Colin Whelan off and he's breaking his heart running around the pitch there at the end. I know, look, Drogheda got set piece halfway line, a deep ball in the box, your man got a good header, and that kind of put the cat amongst the pigeons, but they wouldn't have deserved that, and they didn't really threaten there after. Bowes looked comfortable, do you know what I mean? I'd say the Drogheda fans wouldn't be happy with that performance.
Yeah, what is it, Barry, have you ever been in a team like that where they seem to be very streaky, don't they? Like, it's like they're either on a win of runs or they're on a win without runs, and whatever run they're on seems to go on for quite a while. They're a very streaky side. Can you put your finger on why that would be, or what leads to that, I wonder?
Yeah, I still think Rennie's not 100% sure about his best 11. I think he's starting to find it now. I think it's. I'm such a fan of Diallo. I think as Anthony was talking about that, he just frees up Dawson, frees up Ross Tierney a little bit as well, pushes him further on. I think he covers so much space in there that I think he's the answer at the moment. But you look at Pats are the same. Pats are destroyed Waterford last week, and then they put in a performance like that tonight. There's so many teams like that in the league at the moment. The quality is just come a lot closer, I think, bar Rovers, who on their day kind of usually get it over the line. Even tonight though, just couldn't break down Dundalk. I think teams are a lot closer. I think we're going to see a lot more of that going forward, where teams are streaky, and it's the ones that can get on the better end of that streak are going to do well.
Yeah, you commented, Anthony, on the Rovers one being a big one, but it's only a big one if you go and do the business in the Galway game first, isn't it?
Yeah, of course it is, and I just using that as a reference point to get us. Like, we'd always look at games in two and threes, and if you kind of take there, if you kind of leave the last two wins behind us and go, look, if you got 4 points out of them two games, you'd be in with a shout. But it's going to be a big one for other reasons, because it's the last game in Daly Mount we play Rovers, and it's going to be, there's a bit of a fanfare around it, and Rovers will get themselves up for it as well. They'll want to set down a marker and kick on, and I just think for the league it's usually a tight game over the years, but I think the last couple of games have been really, really good, and it's kind of been the benchmark for what our league has to offer, and I think that's why I'm kind of looking forward to it more so than from a Bowes perspective. But I just think that's the game we look towards as fans. But I also think from a football point of view, that's going to be the one that's if we went and beat Rovers, does that put us back in the title race? Probably does. Will we win it? Probably not, but it gets us in the question again.
Yeah, no, it's going to be interesting. What have we got? I think three rounds of games before the mid-season break. Like, if you were, like you said, if you went and did your business against Galway and then did manage to win that one, what's here? I'm just looking here, away to Sligo is your last one before the break. If this is another streak, you'd be hitting it at the right time.
Yeah, but look, we're notorious for going into games going, oh, that's a little bit easier than Rovers and Pats and Shells and Drogheda, and then all of a sudden you're like, the last time we played Sligo and Waterford, we got 1 point out of two games, so, and they were two home games, so we just take nothing for granted. Like Barry says, just the margins are so small. That could be just take Diallo to be injured, or Ross Tierney to have a knock, or someone to sit it out that week, and then you're back to square one. I don't think we have the capacity like Shamrock Rovers have, or even Pats to a certain degree, that if we lose one or two of our mainstreams, we're filling holes and putting square pegs in round holes, as we used to say, Shane.
Yeah, for sure. Anthony, fair play, super stuff.
No bother, lads. Cheers, thanks, man. All the best, lads. Thanks very much.
Great stuff. Barry, haven't had quite a few Rovers fans on the last couple of weeks. No Rovers fans on tonight, so we haven't. I wonder why. But Jesus, for me, that result kind of came out of nowhere, didn't it? Like, Rovers have looked so good again of late. Dundalk just seemed to be losing that early season momentum. I mean, that's a massive result for Dundalk.
Ah, it's huge. And if you get a chance to watch it back, Shane, you have to see it. Like, to be fair to Dundalk, like, they were brilliant. They were absolutely brilliant. It's a patchwork back four, back three, whatever it was, you know, with Tyreek Wilson, J.R. Wilson, Warren at the heart of the centre half as well, Burns at left back. And then you look at A. Durbin and Keith Buckley in front of those two. They were so solid, got the bodies in front of everything. Rovers just struggled to break them down in the first half. And it was actually Owen Kenny who had the better of the two chances. The first half should have scored with a one-on-one. Dilly-dallied with the second one and didn't do it. And then the goal is an absolutely wonderful goal. Like, the ball into Daryl Horgan, and you just, the bit of quality to find Tyreek Wilson at the back post, and the volley is unbelievable. That's his third goal of the season, Tyreek Wilson. What a connection with it. And then just smashes the pass to Evan McGinty. But you should see the saves from the end of Minogue. The last 10 minutes, I think he had three wonderful saves. One of them reminded me of do you remember Dave Seaman saving the FA Cup against Pesky?
Yeah, the one where it's gone past him and he's gone backwards.
Absolutely wonderful save. And just before that as well, for the red card for JR, it was a free kick in the edge of the box. And it's the typical commentators talking about, he should save it. Absolutely not. He can't see Anthony. He's looking between legs. He's got to hold his position on the left side of the wall. Gets down so well to make the save. And then a Peter Schmeichel starfish save for the third one. Just a brilliant performance from him at the end. I thought they deserved the points in the end.
Yeah, massive result. Probably still not going to be like a major concern for Rovers, though. You'd imagine it's just one of those little blips that they would expect themselves to bounce back from very quickly.
It's a funny one because they played the same starting 11 for the first time in I don't know how long, as the Galway 11, and like they were obviously excellent that night, and set up, the way Galway set up was something similar to the way that Dundalk did tonight. So they think, well, we could break that down, we'll do it again tonight. Didn't work. Rock Graham Burke on made a difference when he came on, and just couldn't find that kind of bit of momentum in the game. Dundalk were always likely to hit them on the counter attack and offer that threat. And listen, it's a blip for Rovers, but it's a huge result for Dundalk and gives the rest of the league a bit of hope now.
It does, and sets things up very nicely for another double header of games next week. We've got a Friday and a Monday round next weekend with things very delicately poised. So I'm sure hopefully the majority of you will be back on with us again Friday night, where we can summarise the madness that goes on and have a look at what's coming on the Monday. Barry, thanks a million for tonight.
Yeah, come on, Shane. Safe home.
Chat to you later. Good luck, everybody.
Off the ball. GAA.
And even in the start of the first half, I was actually close enough to him when the game was going on and things weren't going well for Roscommon, and he was still the same. Like, you wouldn't even know if they're winning or losing. That's kind of the way he is, and he kind of projects that to the dressing room as well.
Join in the obsession. Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join.